my plaudits to all the staff, financial and public works, for this excellent excellent work and excellent summary. Did the Citizens Tax Oversight Committee, did they formally approve this project, and did they have any questions or concerns?
They did. They recommended that City Council approve this report. I don't recall any big items. I'm looking at Mr. Betts. And
great question, Councilmember Funk. The CSTOC members overwhelmingly approved the report. They made a couple comments that really struck staff in a positive way. And they said that, you know, since this measure was passed in 2014, today, it's really hard not to drive on a road that has been in some way, shape, or form improved, resealed, rehabilitated since it was passed in 2014. And they borrowed one of your infamous lines of promises made, promises kept. So out of those nine members who resonate all across the community, they really are seeing it from their neighbors, their friends, their family, how important this measure is, and it's really making a positive impact for the community. And they were really thankful for being on the committee.
Great. And I would express my appreciation to all those members for that service. It's an important element of accountability for this, that folks are not just trusting the five of us up here, but also have other folks in the community who are taking a close look at this particular item and making sure we keep faith with the promises made to voters. Thank you.
Councilmember Newsom.
I always like the handy brochure to really see what we're accomplishing. So thank you for your hard work.
Yes, and I think that promises made, promises kept is what, and not, you know, if you drive home, wherever you live in the city, you're driving across some roads that have been improved or totally repaired with this measure, the funding from this measure. And I think that showed in the public's confidence by giving us a 70% vote to continue this practice and continue to improve roads. So I think if we didn't have the success you've already demonstrated, we would not have seen that result. Okay, we're going to turn it over and see if we have any public comment on this item. If anybody would like to speak on this item, please approach the podium.
Good evening, council and staff. Once again, Jeff Oslin. A couple of things. yes, promises made, promises kept. It's a beautiful thing. These are neighborhood roads. They do increase our property values. So if you're living there trying to sell, good for you. If you're trying to buy, sorry. By having nice roads, it shows that we care about our city, and that's a very positive thing. And the chamber and our city, when we did this, was a very smart move, and we have managed our roads great. I'm happy to hear that we're going to do some servicing to extend life on all these expensive roads. That's always a very good thing. And more so on that you're waiting to your larger project, so it will be cheaper to do these surface streets because the equipment and the labor will already be here. That is a really good move on public works. On the expense sheet, I think it's warranted to note that the revenue coming in is less than what the expenditure is, but that's because you start a project and don't necessarily finish it in the same fiscal year. So when you're spending approximately $4.5 million or $5 million and you're only taking in $3.5 million, it's actually a carryover from the other year. So we're not outspending our dollars, and that's a very good thing to note. Thank you.
Hey, any other member of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. And I would comment, if people read the report, not just the brochure, but the actual staff report, which breaks down the costs for all these different individual projects, you can see that road maintenance is an expensive thing. And some of these individual roads, if you happen to live on one of them, we might have spent $500,000, $1 million on your road. And it shows, you know, A, it's expensive, but B, we're putting the money where citizens get to use it. And they should, in a sense, I mean, I my road was paved, and I looked at that number and thought, wow, that's quite a bit of money being spent on our road per household that's on this road. And so I hope everybody is you know, grateful when their road is done. So with that, I'll bring it back to council for a motion. There are two items in the recommendation, one to approve the actual report and the second to approve the distribution of the community road report.
I will move approval as recommended by staff.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk and a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Barbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Peak absent.
Okay, with that, we will move on to item H2, which is a discussion or presentation, rather, on the SLOCOG draft expenditure plan for a potential transportation sales tax measure. And looks like on this one, I'm going to get it right. Well, maybe I'm not. It says that it's going to be presented by Mr. DeBar or Mr. Betts. I'll see someone else.
Why don't I start on this one? Mr. Betts is available as well. So SLOCOG, for those that are unaware of SLOCOG, there are actual metropolitan planning organization. So any major urban area in the United States has one of these. They're actually, they do transportation planning and funding both for state and federal, for our countywide. They also provide funding for public transit services, highway and roadway improvements. And they also prepare, they've gotten involved in the housing needs allocation, RENA numbers, and sustainable communities and strategies. They also, part of the funding, for instance, we receive grants totaling $2.55 million towards our downtown El Camino project last year, and that was a game changer for us to be able to get that one across the finish line. SLOCOG is currently evaluating a potential sales tax measure. This would be a half a cent countywide sales tax measure for transportation needs. This would be on the November 2026 ballot if everything went ahead with this. They were considering the sales tax measure last year, and I recall they came to one of the meetings, and you know, other cities were looking at doing their own local sales tax measure, and they decided to hold off. This was also similar in nature to the one they pursued in 2016, a measure J16, which actually failed just by around 450 votes, and that's a two-thirds measure that would be needed. They have drafted a transportation expenditure plan for review and comment, and with at this time, I'd like to introduce Annie Bowski. Annie is with SLOCOG, and she's going to provide a presentation to go through this.
Good evening, Council, and thank you for the opportunity to present this evening. My name is Annie Bowski, and I am here to present a draft expenditure plan on behalf of SLOCOG. And basically what this is it accompanies a potential dedicated transportation tax measure for SLO County. So what we are proposing is a half cent for every dollar transportation tax to be voted on by voters in November 2026 to fix, repair, and update our transportation needs. And Nick gave a great introduction, but just a little bit additional background on SLOCOG for those who are not familiar with the agency. SLOCOG is the Regional Transportation Planning Agency for SLO County. So in short, SLOCOG connects communities by working with local jurisdictions to allocate state and federal funding for transportation mainly generated by the gas tax. And as the Regional Transportation Agency, SLOCOG is comprised of the seven cities along with the county unincorporated areas. And we actually have the largest governing body in all of SLO County. So we have a representative from each of the seven cities, along with the five county supervisors, including Councilmember Newsom and Supervisor Moreno. And of course, it's no secret that It's no secret that our county's transportation needs are growing while our funding is continuing to dwindle. We can discuss what we don't have, but we can also talk about what we could fund. There are many regional interchanges in North County 101 that could definitely use our attention, but it's also the small scale community projects such as local road repairs, safe routes to school, public transit, and more that could also be funded. SLOCOG was proud to partner with Atascadero on the El Camino Real Safety and Parking Enhancement Project, and with locally controlled dedicated sales tax for transportation, projects like these can move faster and save both time and money. And looking at kind of our overall STIP, or the State Transportation Improvement Program, over the past 8 years, we've had continued reduced funding, and so have our neighboring counties. But the difference between ourselves and our neighbors is that they have also a voter-approved dedicated transportation tax. So combined, Santa Cruz County, Monterey County, and Santa Barbara brought in over $100 million just in 2024 alone, where SLOCOG brought in $0. And we could have also brought in, and instead of that zero, with a dedicated transportation tax, we could have brought in approximately $35 million to the region. And this is the slide that we really want to continue to focus on, is kind of the heart of what we're trying to say. So kind of taking a wider scope from just our neighbors, 89% of Californians within 25 counties have a dedicated voter-approved transportation tax. And especially just looking at our neighbors since 2016, they brought in a lot more than we have. So San Luis Obispo could have approximately brought in about $270 million, but it's not just about the money collected, it's about the money that can be leveraged at the state and federal level, which means we could have brought in an additional $400 million plus. So getting back to the expenditure plan and why we're all here this evening, after extensive countywide outreach, which included a community meeting in Atascadero, along with presentations at the Atascadero Rotary, along with the Atascadero Chamber, and many more throughout the county, SLOCOG has built a new draft plan and developed safeguards based on the feedback we received, which ensures flexibility, guarantees, and assurances. So starting off, there are four different elements in this plan. The first one is dedicated, out of the $35 million, dedicates 55% to local road repairs, safety, and improvements. And this is population-based, based on the 8 different jurisdictions, which means Atascadero would bring in about $2 million per year. This provides more local control and would add money to each jurisdiction's budget, and these non-prescriptive funds give more flexibility to residents, city staff, and council. And beyond the dedicated 55% that would go to the 8 different jurisdictions, about 40% would then be used for regional projects. This provides more local control, And one major change from the prior proposed expenditure plan and provisions is subregions. So instead of a single region-wide pot of funds, each subregion is assured its fair share of these funds. It's regional spending, but at a community level. Again, this pot is based upon population. There's 35% of people within the North County, which means 35% of the funds would go to fixing the regional needs of North County. And this slide basically gives you a pretty good breakdown of what each jurisdiction would receive. And in addition to the 95% that would go to jurisdictions and regional projects, we would dedicate an additional 4% to mobility needs of seniors and people with disabilities. As we know, this is a growing need within our county. And then additionally, it would just be at most 1% dedicated to administrative costs to produce such things as annual reports, share transparency, and make sure that we are sharing what we are doing with these funds. And like our neighbors, have done, we would seek and win grants to double, even triple, the collected tax. And so this slide really looks at kind of the local level of what a Tascadero could do. So of course we looked at what the regional needs would be. So that includes interchange improvements such as Del Rio, Traffic Way, but also we recently went on a safety walk, I think it was in September, with my colleague who's here, John DeNunzio, and we observed the high school getting out, and that would be a great opportunity for a safe routes to school project to use with these funds. Additional, there are safety improvements such as flashing beacons, and I'm sure you guys can all name a bunch of things in your head as well. So finally, looking at what is additionally in this expenditure plan, and the one thing I always want to iterate to people is safeguards, safeguards, safeguards. So after extensive discussion with city staff, thank you for being so helpful with sharing all your feedback. We've made a few improvements and updates to this plan, and we're also here tonight to continue to get updates. But just a few of those include local expenditure reports. So our goal is to make reporting as simple as possible, and SLOCOG will create an annual report based on the input we received from local jurisdictions on how they have used the funds. We want to show we can deliver what was promised while making reporting streamlined, similar to SB1 reporting or even the local measure reporting that also needs to be done. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we want to show what good things we've done if this measure were to pass by the voters. Additionally, the capital improvement program. This would be no different than what the jurisdictions already created, just with more funding to add more and added local control. Additionally, the maintenance of efforts. Jurisdictions would demonstrate the maintenance to make, jurisdictions must demonstrate that they maintain their current level of the general fund. And this is just a quick look of what an additional half cent for every dollar sales tax would look like. So of course it would not go to housing, it would not go toward medical, and it would not go toward groceries. But of course, saying you're buying a t-shirt, you might pay about 5 cents extra in tax if the t-shirt costs $30. We're very lucky here with our tourism economy. So if people are buying a wine that also costs $30, $40, they're paying potentially 5 to 10 extra cents, and that is actually staying within the county. And as far as residents go, we estimate that a person making about $60,000 per year would pay approximately $2.31 in an additional tax. So of course, what's next? At the February 4th SLOCOG board meeting, the board will have the opportunity to finalize the expenditure plan. And then through February and March, we will return to the cities for them to also finalize the plan. At this time, we're not asking for a yes or no, but just asking how we can make the plan better. And once again, we greatly appreciate the feedback city staff has already provided, and we're happy to continue to work on this document as it is at the moment a working document. And thank you so much. And at this time, happy to answer any additional questions.
All right, thank you. I'm gonna start on my right with Council Member Newsom, who is our SLOCOG rep.
We put her through the ringer today. She had to go endure all of us at a workshop. Could you speak to what you learned from the workshop and as you're presenting to us some feedback from the workshop that was open to public, SLOCOG, as well as other organizations? Ryan Butts was there too.
Definitely, yes. Thank you so much for joining us today. So SLOCOG, just for some background, had a, it was labeled as a special workshop, officially kind of an official, unofficial board meeting that was posted and of course open to the public. Public was invited along with all our committee members as well. And we had about 40 people there and we did three different sessions in, we kind of refer to it as SLOCOG speed dating, probably could use a little bit more work on the title, but that's kind of the best way to describe it. So we had this opportunity to hear from a few different groups. And one of the biggest challenges we've kind of had over time is how to approach what if we should mention projects or not mention projects. So that was kind of some of the feedback we got as well. And we kind of can talk about potential projects we could do, but it's hard to kind of have a main line of exact projects. So that was kind of some of the feedback we got today. And one of the things that is separate from, or kind of within the eight jurisdictions, there's approximately, there's the unincorporated area that is included for that. And one of the discussions was also how to break down the approximate $8 million in funding out of the $35 million per year that would be given. Should it be one pot for the unincorporated areas or should we break that down? And some additional thoughts were kind of how to market the project. So one of the biggest things that came out of it, and this is what we've seen consistently through our outreach, is the idea that we should be leveraging funds. And that's what is kind of, even for people, obviously a new tax isn't the most glamorous thing that people want to have in their life. But unfortunately, with it is one of the only ways we can leverage funds at the state and local level. So that was kind of the other thing that was identified during the workshop as well.
Thank you. It was kind of nice to be on there to have an understanding of how long it's been since they've had a workshop as SLOCOG as a board, to have the understanding of how the projects, and most projects are taking somewhere from what, 10 to 16 years and trying to get projects done on a more timely basis and making sure every jurisdiction and sub-region has ideal projects that fit any potential grants coming forward. So we appreciate your staff being able to work through some of our ideas as we try to keep control on not only the regional, but also on the local aspect of how it impacts our communities.
Definitely, and thank you for that feedback, and we're happy to have more. It was a pretty fun time. So,
all right, thank you. Councilmember Funk.
Yes, could you go back to the slide with that shows the funding, the potential funding, keep going. Showing the state pot. Okay. Isn't there, this shows that what we would get, the opportunity to get a particular state pot of funds matching. But isn't there a different pot of funds from which we do draw some funds?
So we as a county and as SLOCOG, we receive and distribute formula funds. So that's something we do get every single year. And you guys do get that as well as a city. But was it specifically what grants we go after? Is that what you're referring to? Because this is kind of more based on the idea of applying and getting grants. So it's not necessarily routine maintenance, but such projects as Safe Routes to School can get up to a 5-to-1 grant, or something such as a safety issue on the highway can also be a little bit more competitive. But the idea kind of, and please excuse me if I'm explaining this wrong, but the idea of this is that we at this point don't really have a lot of additional money to leverage at the state and federal level, which is kind of why we aren't getting the grants that other counties are getting.
Okay, check my understanding, but I believe I understood that there was there's a one path of funding that's available to counties that are not considered self-help counties like ours, where we don't have this kind of tax, and that we would then shift over to a larger pot of money available to us that is for these self-help counties. Is that?
As of my understanding, there's no potential funding for counties that aren't self-help. It's, we are able to compete with grants at some level, but it's just they expect us to put more money up for grants to get more money back to the region. So unfortunately, we are kind of losing out with the inability to put up larger funds to get more grants.
Councilmember, your understanding is largely correct. The state of California over the last several years has shifted limited transportation funds towards counties who are self-help counties who have money to match. And so that's what you're seeing there, is that we've lost out on roughly $430 million while Santa Barbara's gotten $759 million in transportation funding that we wouldn't be able to access because we're not a self-help county. And so whether it's good policy or bad policy is up to the council to decide, but the state has definitely pushed down funding onto counties to help match and pay for their own transportation needs.
But we would continue to get the money that, or we, I should say, SLOCOG and the whole county would continue to get the money that it currently gets. But the premise being that these other counties also, because they have matching funds through their half-cent sales tax, they're achieving a hell of a lot more grants. We're getting basically none because we don't have the matching money to put up.
Right. We get the gas tax minimum and the state transportation assistance fund minimum. And
right. But to go to Councilmember Funk's original question, we wouldn't stop getting the current pot of money that SLOCOG gets. We would just be gaining access to grants that require matching funds.
Exactly. And if you could please go back one more slide, if you wouldn't mind. So this is funding we get from this the STIP, or the State Transportation Improvement Project. So if you look since 2016, these funds, predominantly from SB1, which is the gas tax, mm-hmm. people are using less and less gas tax, or less and less gas, of course. So more and more, less and less money is being distributed to counties within California. So that's where we are losing out compared to other counties. And other counties have shifted and kind of gotten ahead with their dedicated transportation tax. But this is meant to represent the funding we receive, which has, of course, dwindled quite a bit over the years, which is why we're kind of in, unfortunately, this position that we are with not having the funding that we need to get more projects done.
Okay, thank you. I do have some additional questions in varying levels of importance. As you've seen with, you know, earlier in this meeting, we have a very already well-established process with a local jurisdictional citizens committee that ensures maintenance of effort on transportation funding to keep our faith with our voters. Would it be possible to simply delegate that process rather than to the existing commissions and jurisdictions that have them, rather than having to create a whole countywide commission that frankly would have less credibility in our jurisdiction than the local one?
So basically, looking at the different pots of funding, kind of there's the 55%, which Atascadero would get approximately $2 million per year. As long as that is fully spent on transportation, we basically just need to show that SLOCOG does not have control over that, but we just want to show, and there are some, of course, other elements to that, but just want to show basically that the city would be spending that money correctly, which is fully under the city's control. And then additionally, there's the regional pot of money, the 40%, which a portion of that would, of course, go to North County, and that would be overseen by the SLOCOG board. So we would have a citizens committee, but that would just be to make sure people are spending cities are spending the right amount of money, say maybe on road repairs or potentially putting it up for grants, so on and so forth. So if the citizens committee wouldn't be making specific decisions, it would be the SLOCOG board every couple years based on project needs and kind of the regional funding. And then with the money that goes strictly to the cities, that would be totally the city's decision, as long as they weren't using the money, say, and this is obviously very hypothetical, but for pickleball courts or something along those lines. So it would not be controlled by the SLOCOG Citizens Committee. It would be controlled either locally at the jurisdictional level or potentially by the SLOCOG board.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate your addressing the question of who gets to decide. That was in another question of clarity that I had. But what I was talking about the maintenance of effort thing is specifically the reporting requirements. We took a lot of care in our ordinance to look at the efficiency of the process, because it was important to our taxpayers. We want to spend this money on roads, not accountants. And so I'm looking for where there are there, are you willing to look at opportunities to build on the work we've already done and not create that infrastructure at the countywide level where that infrastructure exists?
Yeah, definitely. And our goal is to basically roll in to what's already being done. So it would be a tiny bit of additional reporting, but we would want to align it similar to SB1 or what you are already doing for your measure funds. So we would expect some basic reporting, but we would try to make it as efficient as possible. And with the feedback from city staff, we've already kind of made those edits and are making those edits at this time in the expenditure plan.
If I may, council member, I appreciate you bringing that up. We still have some questions, but to SLOCOG's credit, they have moved towards efficiency and towards not duplicating effort. I think your suggestion, though, of if a community has a sales tax for transportation and an oversight committee over that tax, there'd be a huge efficiency in that group self-certifying on the 55%. Yeah. I am going to make that recommendation to SLOCOG staff. I think we continue to have some concern about some of the review of prospective projects. That's your job as the city council to budget what projects are important. Review and audit committees are looking at arrears to make sure the money was spent correctly. And so we had some question about that too. But they have been helpful and listening, and there's a few things we still want to continue to do on the prospective, making reports more efficient, seeing in writing that our formats are enough. I appreciate what she said about the SB1 reporting. That's already a lot of work for administrative services. That should be enough. It's a very strict report to the state of California. And so parsing some of that information for this, it's what you said. We need more money and time spent on getting roads done than accounting and reports.
I'm going to jump in here because I think that to be clear, though, on page 83 of our report, and this is part of your plan, which looks like it says page 4, plan, requirements for eligible jurisdictions. And I think this is largely what Councilmember Funk is alluding to. It lists all of these requirements for eligible jurisdictions, mitigation fee program, circulation element, capital improvement program, pavement management plan. And there it specifically states a common format approved by the authority, an expenditure report, and time limits on use of net revenues, talking about a time limit when some of these projects are multi-year projects from inception to approval and then to construction. And so just want to be very clear, since this evening, you're going to come back and ask our approval for this plan to then be submitted out to the voters. But so this evening is our chance to comment on the plan. And so I just can't stress enough how important it is to us that these requirements be minimal, because as Councilmember Funk stated, the voters, when they're going to approve something, they just want to be assured that the money's really going to get spent on road projects. And this is just typical government, though, that you got to have this report and that report and this element and this program and this plan. And it's like, for the most part, we already have those. And what really concerns, I think, our staff and us is that somebody's going to go, oh, well, that plan you've done every year, that's not good enough anymore. Now, you've got to add 6 pages and address these 25 additional questions. That's just a deal killer for us. I mean, this has got to be, you're never going to achieve the 1% administrative costs and overhead if you're requiring additional things like that. And I just want to, so I want to be really clear that we expect this to be very minimal, because we already basically do those things and we can show our citizens and citizens throughout the county that we do, but not to require additional reports or specific formats that would require our staffs to do additional work.
Amen.
Definitely, and we completely understand that. And everything that's, there is one nuance I'll discuss, but basically we're looking, say the circulation element, capital improvements program, we know these are things the cities already do. And that's basically what we want you guys to understand, is that that's what you would be giving us, is something that you're already doing. With just additional revenue involved. And just the one nuance is a time limit for use of revenues. And we have updated this in the current document. But basically the nuance on that is with the 55% or the $2 million that Tascadero would be receiving annually. That's totally yours if you do want to save it, if you do want to compile some funding so you can put it up for a larger grant. That is totally something the city can do. It's more for the 40% regional projects. We understand that things do come up, but we do expect that money to be spent in a reasonable, timely manner. So that's kind of the difference between the two. If it is approved by the SLOCOG board for the 40% local infrastructure projects, that's something we would expect to be spent within the coming years in a project that's already kind of ready to go. So that's the difference between the two.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Funks, I'm sorry, did you have further questions?
That's okay, yes, thank you. To the end that the mayor was just discussing, on the next one of these pages of the staff report, you have language in there specifying that you're obligating SLOCOG staff to be reporting twice a year to every single city council and every single community advisory committee. Did I read that right? And is there any need for that?
That's something that's definitely open for discussion. The reason that's in there is we do pay a lot of mind to the CACs and the unincorporated areas. And I've personally gone out to quite a bit of those different groups, and their challenge is that they never feel seen and they never feel heard. So that's why we're placing that in there. We did get this kind of comments and feedback from Mr. Betts this afternoon, and he noted that as well. And we were even just discussing it, nothing in ink yet, but that is one of the things we looked at. But the reason that that's in there is for more of the CACs. So that is a nuance we could discuss and change and talk about. And that would just basically be a kind of report from staff to the city council twice per year. But we understand that you guys only do that annually, and it is a bit of a nuance. But for now, the reason that that's in there is kind of for the CACs at this point. Okay.
There's a boatload of staff time in that requirement. Mm-hmm. And that's time that's not being spent fixing roads. And so I love the CACs too, but nobody presents to us twice a year. We don't have our ongoing issues on the staff doesn't present to us twice a year on anything. So streamline that one.
Absolutely. Okay. And obviously, as mentioned, this is a working document. So thank you for that feedback. And we understand the reasoning of why you feel that way.
Okay. And our understanding is that that's the kind of feedback you're asking for today.
Exactly.
And I will take our one chance
to
give some feedback on this thing to make sure it's that if it is going to be done and if it is going to be approved by the voters, and then that it's done done properly. I would also comment the population basis, is that settled? Because that does seem to be a very solid basis upon which to make the distribution. For one thing, population is a number that everybody can understand and that can't really be gamed, and it's generated by the federal government rather than by any players here.
Yeah, and that's one thing. There's quite a few different options. You could go definitely by zip code. You could go by road miles, so on and so forth. And SLOCOG had multiple meetings with city managers over the past almost year. And that's just something that you can go any way, and someone may not benefit perfectly in any single way. But that was just what was decided for the easiest way for voters to understand. And additionally, just an easy way to divide things and show that you can kind of divide the money in that format.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Darris, any questions?
Yeah, just to follow up, you were talking about the regional corridor improvement pot of money and that it could be sort of saved up to use so we can get matching grant funds to be able to do projects. Am I understanding that correctly?
So if you're referring to the 40%,
yeah,
that would be, there's quite a few different ways to do it. So this would be the funding that's received annually, and the SLOCOG board would have to come with a project ready to go, say 101 improvements, and it would be approved by the SLOCOG board, and then with that, if it was decided, you would be able to save up money and then go for grants in that context.
Because the question I have on that was, well, first of all, the reasonable timely manner, what's reasonable time? And we've had projects that were much less cost than what we're talking about here. But, you know, we needed just a little bit more, then we'd get a little bit more. And it just, we kept chasing our tail with something that could have been funded or should have been funded much sooner. Every year that we can't do it, it just adds to the expense. But the corridor problems or fixes that we have are huge dollar amounts. And we're not going to be, I don't see how we would do this. What's a timely manner? I think that's my concern.
We will work to define that a little bit more, but basically the idea would be that these projects would be able to be approved or basically kind of funded and approved in that way. But that is a nuance, and we can discuss that further. So.
All right, thank you. Oh,
yeah. All right, thank you. It looks like page 5 of your plan, it says a performance assessment shall be conducted at least every 3 years to evaluate the efficiency, blah, 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 blah. By who? Who would perform that? Or is this one of these going to go out and pay some firm, you know, a bunch of money to, you know, look at this stuff every 3 years?
We discussed that, and it's more making it would basically be, we would be reporting annually. So all that would happen is we would combine those annual reports into a 3-year report just to show what we've been doing. And once again, that's a step to make things more efficient. But we would want to report out every 3 years as well.
Okay. Well, that's good because, again, as Councilmember Funk tried to know, we're obviously concerned about our staff time, but we're concerned about your staff time, SLOCOG staff time too. And we want SLOCOG working on plans for projects, not reports. So don't... I think there's a little bit of overkill in here in terms of the sensitivity that, oh boy, you know, if we go out for this, the voters are really going to be concerned about accountability. The voters want to see projects, not reports, not get hung up too much on process. They want to see projects. And anything that just takes more staff time to generate more paper is not projects. So, okay, I have no further questions. What I'd like to do is open it up to members of the public to comment on this item. If any member of the public would like to speak, please broach the podium.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Oslin once again. About 5 years ago, I served on a steering committee on SLOCOG when it started. And this exception of adding a tax, as in the word steering, I was the only one that voted against it, by the way. And I see where the progress has come, but I have a lot of concerns. I think SLOCOG in itself does a lot of great things. We got some benefits up here, which is great. But if we needed to do an overpass and based on the money that we'd get on this pot, you're looking at a 10 to 15 year project and having to save money to redo an overpass. And our residents here in Atascadero will not tolerate that. That could be a detriment to some of our tax base. The things that concern me are we pay a gas tax, it goes up every year. We see less and less back to our county or back to our cities than what we used to get. And price of gas is slightly higher, so we should be getting more tax dollars, and we don't really get a lot from whatever it is, SB1 or whatever that is. With more electric vehicles on the streets, we're losing tax revenue there. It's a concern. My biggest concern with SLOCOG, even though I think this is a vast improvement from where they were a year ago when they approached it, I don't think this is defined well enough for our city, even though this is not a vote tonight and they're going to come back, to be a positive thing. How many more staff people are we going to have to hire for SLOCOG? How many more consultants are we going to have to hire? How many more people in Sacramento are we going to have to lobby to get funds? And my understanding on this pot of gold out there is as more people become have the phrase wrong, self-help or whatever, to get funds, the pot diminishes anyways. We're not getting our fair share as it is, and you keep seeing it go down the road if you will. If you look at some of the things that Caltrans's priorities are, and they're supposed to be funding and doing things with our money and our roads, they're hiring people left and right to figure out if they can put a bike lane down the center of 101. And no, I'm not exaggerating. They've hired numerous people to figure out where they can put a bike lane. We're not in a spot here in Slo County where it's feasible to ride a bike from here in Atascadero to San Luis Obispo and back, or an electric bus that can't make it up the hill without charging when it gets back to San Miguel or Paso Robles from Arroyo Grande. So these are concerns that concern me if we're going to add a tax. And lastly, the County of San Luis Obispo changed their priorities, Board of Supervisors, from funding roads to making it like number 10 or 11 on their list. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good timing. I mean, you just finished right at 3 minutes. Excellent. So, all right. With that comment, we can bring it back to the council for discussion. Again, we are not voting on, the plan itself. Our purpose was to provide input, so we don't have a motion. I just want to allow each council member, if they wish, to make any parting comment to the SLOCOG representatives.
I do want to again emphasize the importance of efficiency in this process. We're efficiently achieving accountability. Note from my discussions with CACs out and about and listening to them, they want to see you fix their roads. They don't necessarily want to see your lovely faces. So just to fix the roads. That's a frustration in the rural areas where they feel like they're paying a lot more gas tax than city folks do because they have bigger vehicles. You can't pull a horse trailer with Prius. They want to see the results come back to them too in a process that's fair. And our folks just want to get our roads fixed also. And I do want to emphasize what Councilmember Darris pointed out. We need the ability to accumulate projects. Big regional projects are going to take time. We're looking at, and I'm assuming that, our interchanges in Atascadero on the 101 are probably going to wait until the 46-101 interchange has been done. That probably, went out in priority. So we're going to have to wait a while, and it takes some time to build that up. Even if it's a shovel-ready project, that doesn't mean you're going to get the money from the state or that somebody's not going to find some problem in the construction process that snags it up a little bit. So there needs to be reasonable latitude have time to spend those funds so that we can get the big impacts that we do if this is going to proceed. Thank you.
No, I don't have anything. That's a good report, though. Thank you. But I think Councilmember Funk was talking about is sure we have some serious intersection changes that need to be addressed, and they're super high dollar, and we're not going to be able to do that in just a couple of years. So, thank you.
Usually, I do my committee reports at the end, but I think this is a good place to segue into it. It's always interesting to sit as a SLOCOG board member because you also understand that we as a local, we sit as a body for a regional, but we represent our local jurisdictions. And the nice thing that we did have is a SLOCOG board realized that there was some recommendations that we needed to do. Therefore, there was a workshop called in order to do that. It does require us to go back to our local jurisdictions and come back and say, what are those projects to make sure they are in the pipeline to streamline and make it more efficient and really bring our concerns to them, not just on the sales tax measure, but also on the regional transportation. The reports that we do get and the mandates that are done at both the federal and the state level are somewhat ridiculous in the fact that they're really short term, but we all know that projects are taking 10 years. So we talk about state and federal guidelines are taking 4 years of reporting, we know a project can take 10. So you're, halfway in it, you're having to re-report. So the work that is being generated, I don't want to say is automatically done at a local level. It's state and federal mandated. And all of us sit up here with that mass frustration of what it looks like to deal with wildfire mitigation and all of the same bureaucracy. So it was nice as a workshop participant, also as a board member, to really say, we are really efficient on our local level. How can you learn from us and how can we learn from you to streamline it? And to be that local voice was kind of nice because we are very frugal. We try not to spend as much money because we don't have it and we know that. And so we're really diligent with it. So it's nice to go both sides of that table and really pitch into those projects. And as I look at our funding cycle, SLOCOG will be reaching out to our jurisdictions. It will be important to make sure that we know that those items in the pipeline are good to go. Like I'm looking at something with a 2028 deadline or 2028 projected time frame with a certain dollar amount of today's value. That is going to be totally different down the line. So because it fits into one box and one shovel ready under $2 million in the current grant cycle on Congressman Panetta's site, what we're doing with the build out of other funding sources, how does this play into what do we need done for transportation? So it was insightful. I think they have a lot of work to do after today's meeting, though. But we do appreciate you listening to everything we had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, I really appreciate, you know, you taking this feedback. I know you've been accepting feedback from staff, city managers and public works directors, et cetera. And that is important to building a plan that, you know, the cities can support. And overall, so I hope, you know, the commentary we provided has been helpful to you. Overall, though, I like the plan. I very much like the 55% of the funding going directly to the cities based on population. And then 40% going to regional projects is very good. And it's there, I think, where we're really going to see the potential for matching, you know, that will enable us to put up matching funds and receive those state and federal grants. And I think from a pure business proposition standpoint, nobody likes to pay an additional tax. The question is always, as a taxpayer, what are you getting out of it? And I think as we saw with our own local measure, the answer is, well, you're getting, you know, you're getting roads improvement that you can see, you can visibly see and ride over. And with this plan, what I like is that we just in the 55% are going to essentially see in Atascadero, if this were to pass, we would see essentially all of what our citizens pay in sales tax, just in the allocation back to the city. And so the rest is gravy. So the plan itself, I am very pleased with the allocations. I think they're fair and they're reasonable and they're potentially beneficial to Atascadero. So we'll see you, I guess, late in February or March, that you'll be back to present the formal plan here for March. You'll be back here in March to present the formal plan, and we'll actually have a further discussion and vote at that time. All right. Well, thank you again, and thank you, everybody. That concludes our discussion on that item. So we will move on to council announcements and committee reports. And I'll start on my left with Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Not much to report other than, let's see, APCD's meeting next week. CAPSLO's meeting this Thursday, but I might not be able to make that meeting. Obviously a quiet December, so I don't have anything to report from that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Funk.
Yes, the Atascadero Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency met on December 17th. It was a routine meeting, and we got our consulting work and plan lined up for the coming year. To continue the reporting and moving along in ensuring the sustainability of our basin, which is in good shape. I did take that occasion in the informational reporting at the end to alert them to some of the things we're starting to hear from the Water Quality Control Board with regard to how they're looking at how we manage particularly the salt requirement, which they, you know, anyway, but just to give them a heads up that a more regional approach is likely to come, and the way that moves forward is not clear to me. So there we are. The Homeless Services Oversight Council Executive Committee met on the 15th, and we were delegated responsibility to do some allocations for public safe permanent supportive housing services grants, or it's the continuum of care funding, but it's the ongoing pot of money that's used to keep the data reporting and to do the services that keep people housed who have complex needs, who are disabled or have mental health issues. TEMA manages most of that money, as and PSH. There are some issues with regard to very large changes in the federal grant requirements that are being challenged in court because they directly contravene the guidance of Congress. So we're just, staff is trying to keep that moving along as smoothly as we can and to keep our as much funding as we can going to that important work that is highly successful, about a 95% rate of keeping people in that housing once they get in, and it's only used for people who have serious needs. And last, I would mention that the that every 2 years there's a what's called the point in time count of home, of unhoused persons, and Mayor Bourbeau is nodding because he's been part of that. That is going to be occurring on January 27th. So this is the last week. If you want to sign up to volunteer, if you're an early morning person or can drink a lot of coffee, it starts at 5:30 a.m. But we do want to both count and interview the folks who are unhoused in our community. And there will be multiple teams in Atascadero that day. So sign up and volunteer. There's a virtual training on Saturday. You too can be part of this important process. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Newsom.
I already gave my slow cog an RTA. We've had a meeting last week, a meeting today, so I have nothing else to report.
Got it. Thank you. And likewise, a slow December. There was no Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting, but we will be meeting tomorrow. And there was no mayor's meeting. We will be meeting in Morro Bay on Friday. I did want to make my colleagues aware, though, I did receive an email. The City Selection Committee will be meeting on February 25th. And I'll mention it now because one of the items to be considered is an appointment to LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, because a council member Gregory from Paso, his term expired on December 29th. And so I believe this is the appointment that belongs to the North County. So if any of my colleagues are potentially interested, or staff, if we could make sure that Councilmember Peak is aware of that opportunity as well, please can possibly consider doing that. Not that any of you need an additional committee assignment, but I will say LAFCO does not meet all that often. So so I just want to mention that and that meeting again, February 25th, but there will be an application process that one can look at the LAFCO website for. So, okay, that's it. Now, does any individual determinations from council? Okay. Seeing none, I believe we are adjourned. Thank you.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Help. Services include pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, maternity and baby items, post-abortion support, and lots of helpful information. It's all confidential and it's all free. There's a Tree of Life in San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, and Paso Robles. Visit our website at treeoflifepsc.com or call us at 805-543-6000. That's 805-543-6000. Tree of Life.
When you need a plumber, chances are you need one right away. That's why Red's On-Time Plumbing is available 24/7 with same-day service. Red's On-Time Plumbing has...